Hello and welcome to this episode 70 of Brashcast with me, Liam Pritchard, and as always, Ross Alexander.
Hello there.
It's been a week because, I don't know, you were doing important stuff, weren't you, I suppose? You were, like, preparing for job interviews and all that jazz.
Yeah, trying to sort my life out.
Yeah, I'm basically using you as an excuse. I mean, I'm as much to blame here as anyone else, but, you know.
Well, that's fine. We could have done a podcast from the train. I would have had to have phoned in. It would have been interesting.
It would have, especially with all the cursing that tends to go on in these podcasts. I'm not sure if it's one for public consumption, to be honest.
Yeah, I probably would have had... that would explain our numbers.
Yeah, maybe.
I would have to maybe hide in the toilet on the train and...
And just swear in the toilet. I'm not sure if that's worse, if you just...
People would think I'd maybe had a really, really rough dinner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd be genuinely concerned if I walked past the toilet on a public
toilet. We are not even a minute in.
Yeah, and you just...
That was me
this time.
That wasn't even intentional. That's unbelievable.
That was me.
All right, yeah. We're going to move on quick. What are we going to talk about this week? All right, let's get professional. Marvel and Square Enix are making Marvel games. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's hot news.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk briefly about when you know that you should be playing other games than the one you're actually playing. That seems to happen to me quite a bit.
Gamer's guilt.
Yeah, there's Mario Kart on the toilet. And I've got a whole other list here of games I've been playing and stuff like that. But we'll get around to and Sherlock and the fact that I think it's shit. But yeah, I guess we can just start, just because the Marvel and Square Enix thing's relatively fresh news. Fresh news, that's a horrible, I wish I hadn't said that now. relatively new news, is that?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I mean, that's exciting, right? I mean, the fact that, I even like the fact that they've said that we're not going to see anything else until 2018, which again, all points towards the fact that they're clearly taking this very seriously.
At the moment, all I've seen is the very short trailer and Kotaku, like, I don't normally read Kotaku, but they came up, so I clicked on it, and yeah, they just said, it's very vague at the moment, but basically Square Enix and Marvel are making multiple titles, and the first one is going to be an Avengers game.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff. I mean, the fact that they said it's like a joint collaboration between Crystal Dynamics, who obviously most famously make the Tomb Raider games, and Eidos, whatever you want to say, Eidos Montreal,
who did Deus Ex.
Deus Ex, yeah. I mean, that's all good news. I mean, you know, these are AAA, top-tier developers.
I mean, if they take the kind of narrative-driven team from Montreal, and then, like, just that third-person action...
mechanics.
Open world, obviously it'd be very, like, the only bit that could conceivably be even similar to Tomb Raider would be like the Captain America levels, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's still it's a good sign when you get somebody who's, I mean, I think the last two Tomb Raider games have been two of the best action games of the last few years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Third person action games, They're definitely up there, you know. They're fantastic games.
Yeah, yeah. And as you say, like Deus Ex, I mean, not only for story, but their aesthetic. They're very used to kind of, you know, I know it's not set in the future, but a lot of the technology you associate with the Avengers is very futuristic looking. And with this being a totally new and original story,
Iron Man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you just think, well, there's the potential there for something pretty special. And one of the things he actually said was, it's a game that people will be able to enjoy for years to come. Which again suggests maybe, what, like a Destiny kind of vibe? Or
I am a little bit anxious about that, because it makes you wonder exactly how that would work.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, it's the same reason there hasn't been a good Superman game, is because balancing that is so difficult. Have a character like the Hulk, there has obviously been games about Hulk, but they've never really held up that well.
I didn't mind the Ultimate Destruction game, but that, again, that's a whole game built around his powers.
Yeah,
and
that's
the problem. I mean, are they going to make the Avengers all playable, or does this suggest something like, oh, you'll be a different superhero within the Avengers universe, perhaps? You know,
possibly. To be honest, it makes it hard to tell, because the Avengers as a concept has been around for decades now, and pretty much every single member of the Marvel Universe has been one at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's that roster has changed a lot, so they have a lot of leeway there.
Yeah, I get the impression, though, I mean, if this is being made specifically by Marvel, I think they'll go, I wouldn't be surprised if they went for the movie lineup, you know, for synergy.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the trailer, what we saw was obviously Banner's glasses with the sound of the Hulk in the background.
Yeah.
Thor's hammer, with the kind of Mjolnir with the lightning kind of coming up around it. Cap's shield with like sparks or embers falling on it.
Yep.
And then what looked like a kind of long abandoned Iron Man glove, like trying to power on and failing.
Yeah, you know what's missing here, don't you? You know who's going to be the primary character in all this.
Do you think it's going to be Hawkeye?
It's totally going to be fucking Hawkeye, dude. You do not get Crystal Dynamics involved unless it's going to be Hawkeye. They absolutely nailed bow and arrow. Do you call it bow and arrow? That sounds a bit old-fashioned. Just a bow?
No, that sounds right. But bow combat. Bow combat makes me think of bow selector.
Yeah, so. That's exactly what I thought of as soon as you said it. Like, bow combat, yeah, we won't do that. All right, so bow and arrow combat. Like, he makes sense, and he's the most grounded character. I mean, as ridiculous as it sounds, like, you could have, like, the more grounded Hawkeye, and then all the crazy shit of Iron Man and the Hulk all going on around you.
Yeah, and I suppose Black Widow would probably play quite closely to how an old-fashioned Tomb Raider would. Because she's all about the dual pistols.
Yeah, and I tell you what, in terms of like a video game narrative, with Hawkeye being more grounded, you know, having his family and stuff, there's a potential for a more personal story than, say,
that's true.
And, you know, he hasn't been done in the movies in the same. Like, we don't need to know anything more about Tony Stark. You know, he's gone from the peaks to the troughs.
That's true, but think about the crafting mechanics you could get with Tony Stark. Like, all he's got is, like, his underpants and he's lost in the Arctic tundra. And by the end of the level, he's got like a fully working mech made out of polar bears and trees.
Yeah, I mean, the possibilities, I mean, are. And the thing is, though, I mean, as you already mentioned, how do you do all those characters in one game and make it actually feel like it makes, not only makes sense, but play, like, you know, each character feels how, because you're so, everybody's so familiar with the characters. If the Hulk doesn't feel like the Hulk, if it's just like, oh,
yeah,
he
people
just,
are gonna know.
Yeah, it'll just feel out of place, you know.
You got to think of the sandbox that's required to play as the Hulk.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, you're like, if you
are you gonna put him underground, like,
yeah, you're gonna dilute his powers so that he can't jump everywhere. But then, equally, as soon as you have Iron Man, what, are you just gonna let him fly off wherever he wants to go?
Yeah, same with Thor.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I keep thinking. The more I think about it, the more I think Hawkeye actually makes sense, but would they dare do a Hawkeye?
To be fair, Captain America would also work as like a, if you think of like the Batman games, like imagine Captain America kicking ass like that. That could be pretty fun as well.
People forget about that. There was a Captain America game, the last, a first Avenger game released.
Was that on the PS2?
No, released on the 360 and the PS3. And right. It had very similar, as every game did back then, it had very similar mechanics to the Arkham series.
So it came out post-Arkham?
Yeah.
Wow, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, because it wasn't very good. It was very much, you know, as I said...
Plus, it would have been before the Captain America series became the best of the Marvel movies.
Yeah, this was...
Instead of being pretty mediocre.
Yeah, this was released just after the first one. So yeah, right. Before Captain America became surprisingly awesome.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be interesting. I mean, when you hear Batman, I mean, obviously we're used to the Batman games being good now, but Batman lends himself so well to video games because of his gadgets.
He's just a man.
And he is
like
just a man.
The balancing is less of a challenge than
exactly
the Hulk.
Yeah, so the only other thing I can think is that maybe they go the route of, say, you know, DC Universe Online. Is that what it's called? DC Universe Online?
Yeah.
Where you literally create a superhero. So Superman and all that exists, and then you create a character. Again, that would maybe fall in line with a kind of Destiny approach if it was an open world. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they go with this. But the main thing is I'm excited because, one, they've obviously taken their time on this. Marvel have got a great track record at the moment of making all the right decisions, both Disney.
In the cinematic universe, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they picked the right directors, and they obviously become very protective over the brand because it's worth gajillions. It's like, why
of
fuck
course.
That? You know, obviously, they've put some thought into this. Like, oh, okay, if we're going to do a video game, we're going to do it properly. Because they could have been pumping out video games for years based on the Marvel films. But obviously, they've put it aside and said, all right, let's do this and let's do this properly. And, you know, maybe they are looking at something like Arkham Knight, the Arkham trilogy, where they're like, that exists outside of the Batman universe, like the movie universe, but it's just a universe unto itself. So there's still a chance they could do that, I suppose, that it won't be linked to the movies in any way. It's just going to be, all right, we'll do a video game universe, but would it sell as well? I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, tricky to tell.
Yeah, but it's all very promising at the moment because obviously there's that coming and the Spider-Man game, which, as we said, you know, everyone got very excited about that reveal trailer, myself included. But that's not going to be out for another...
Haven't seen any of it yet. That'll be interesting.
We were never going to see anything about it. I mean, the trailer was cool, but it was clearly, along with Shenmue and Final Fantasy VII Remake and all that jazz, they were games that clearly weren't coming out for 2 or 3 years. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Spider-Man until at least 2019. I really wouldn't.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, we haven't seen anything. Anything at all. Like, there's no way it's coming this year, Spider-Man. I mean, 2018's realistic.
I think they would have shown a bit more of it by now.
No way is it coming this year. I would accept that it might come in 2018, but I honestly would not be surprised if that and Final Fantasy don't make... Well, Final Fantasy could show up fucking... Based on its track record, that could show up in 2022, for all we know. I mean, surprising, promising for years, you know, video games... comic book. My fucking brain just completely broke then. I kept mixing up video games and comic books in my head, and I was just like, this isn't working. This isn't working at all. But yeah, for years they were mostly shit, but it seems could be on for a bright new future there.
Yeah, possibly.
Cool. What else do we have on the list? Okay, I just want to say about the whole thing. Do you ever have it where you've got a game sitting on your shelf? You're clearly excited about it, but instead of playing that, you pick up something else. Does that ever happen to you? It's like,
It can do.
I seem to put it off. I don't. Well, it happened to me recently because I finally bought Final Fantasy 15, mm-hmm. and I've been waiting to play this for years, like many others. And I was like, okay, I've got the whole day to myself. I'm going to start playing Final Fantasy 15. And then I just turned on Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
Oh, Jesus Christ, right, I didn't know it was that bad.
Well, I tell you what, I had a fucking great time with it. Because I finished the campaign when it first came out, and then I just put it aside. And with every Call of Duty game, generally speaking, I have like a weekend when I get into it online, and then I forget about it and never play it again. I usually get to about level 20, and then that's about it.
Right.
But I started playing Black Ops 3, and for some reason I was like, oh, I'll have a go online. And I started doing surprisingly well. You know, all these people are on prestige and stuff. And not like I wasn't doing amazing, but I was getting at least kind of, you know, a 1-for-1 kill death ratio.
Yeah,
I ended up playing it like the whole weekend. And I got really hooked on it. And it was like one of those games where I just forgot how good it was online. Like, you know, I know it gets a lot of shit because it's the same every year, but I don't play it loads. So all of a sudden I went back to it. I was like, fuck, this is really fucking good. So I ended up playing that for a whole day. And then I was like, okay, now I'll play Final Fantasy 15. So I turned on Forza Horizon 3 again and then played that for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, but so, the thing is, you know what, like, from the sounds of things and the symptoms that you're showing, you have exactly the same illness that I have as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is that you know that you're busy, mm-hmm. you know that your spare time is finite, and both Forza Horizon and Call of Duty can be played in 20-minute chunks if they have to be. And that's exactly what I do. It's a paralysis.
Yeah.
And I have exactly the same problem. And it's how I end up like with 4 different games. I've got a save going on each of them.
Yeah. I think that probably...
That's absolutely what happens.
I think that probably explains it. It's like, I know I'm going to enjoy Final Fantasy 15, but the big problem is, I know... If I get into it, I really get into it. I mean, we're talking like a 30, 40 hour game there. So I just keep putting off. But then it's weird because I think I could have been playing it all day. But instead, because I think, like you said, I'll play this for 20 minutes. And then I end up playing Call of Duty for 4 hours. And then Forza Horizon for 4 hours. And then I, for some odd reason, I bought it ages ago and forgot about it. I was like, all right, now I'm definitely turning it on. I literally went up to the shelf to get the disc. And then I picked up Rainbow Six Siege instead. And then I played that for fucking ages. I've been playing that for the past like week. Wow. It's ridiculous. That game is amazing, by the way.
Yeah?
I was not expecting to like it at all. I mean, I don't really get involved with the competitive multiplayer because I get super depressed. Uh-huh. But just doing the missions, I found surprisingly enjoyable.
We'd briefly spoken about that.
Yeah, I did like all the stuff. I got all the stars for all the missions, which I quite enjoyed. And then just doing the co-op terrorist hunts. I just found that super annoying. Like, it's not going to be one of those games I'm going to be playing a year from now, and I'll never get, like, properly into the multiplayer. I've had a few games, and I've done fine.
Well, we spoke about that on the podcast before.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when you were speaking about how Overwatch tricked you into getting the game?
Oh, yeah,
on a free weekend, and then when all the other noobs had fucked off, you were only left with the pros.
Yeah, that was really depressing.
It's so much worse on the PC version of Rainbow Six, I can promise you that.
Oh, I have no doubt.
It's humbling.
Well, that is the thing with these games, as you say. You've got to put, like, and that is the beauty of something like Call of Duty, where I've got a kind of baseline skill level where I know I'm never going to be, like, tearing. I'll never be on, like, a 20. And, like, I see some people with their figures, and they finish the round, they've got, like, 40 kills and 3 deaths. That'll never be me, as long as I've got a hole in my ass, and I plan on keeping that hole in my ass for the duration, to be honest.
That's good.
I know that I've got a baseline skill level that, for the most part, I'll mean that I can do well enough. Like, I can just jump in and do decent numbers. Like I said, with any online game, you can run into one of those rounds and you just, you know, they just murder you.
Yeah, you just get minced. But it's normally when everyone's in the same clan.
Communicating. Yeah. That's fucking brutal. But as you say, games like Overwatch and Rainbow Six are a different beast altogether. Like, when you join in, if you haven't really played it much before, you are going to get murdered loads.
If you don't know how to play your class, you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, you're going to have a bad time. And that's exactly what happened to me for a while. But as I said, like, you know, I think it's one of those games I'll just stick around and do the terrorist hunts and stuff. But the same thing's happened before. Like, I had Halo 3, and I've been... You remember what a big deal Halo 3 was. And
Halo 3 is, like, you know my opinion on Halo. Like, yeah. I've played all but, I think, 5.
Uh-huh. Which you should totally play, because it's really good.
And they're okay. but 3 was an amazing experience because it came at a time where I was, like, able to spend time with friends who I could play couch co-op with.
Yeah, yeah.
And Halo 3 was made for couch co-op.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Four of us, we hooked up our Xboxes and we blitzed that campaign.
That was
so much fun.
See, I think that's one of the reasons I never got into multiplayer as much, is because my friends were never into it. Like, I tried to get them, like, you know, because everyone used to play GoldenEye. And that's why I tried to convince my friends, like, with the original Xbox. I was like, oh, you know, we'll all play Halo. And they'd play it occasionally, but my friends just aren't into stuff like that. We'd always end up playing, like, Mario Kart.
I think making the jump into the kind of PS2 Xbox era, the only game I could convince my friends to play multiplayer was Time Splitters 2.
Oh, I tried Time Splitters 2. That didn't work either. They were having
because that was a great multiplayer game.
Well, I remember, like, my friend, bizarrely, he wasn't into video games, but, like, he was into, like, Pro Evo and stuff like that. And he bought the PlayStation 2 at launch, even though it cost like £600, which was a big deal back then because he had a job and the rest of us were in college and stuff. And he bought it with Pro Evo wasn't available at launch, but ISS was. Remember, it was more like the N64 version. He was like, oh, I want to buy one other game. And I told him to buy Time Splitters because I was like, oh, you know, we all loved GoldenEye. It's made by the same team and stuff like that. It's going to be really similar. And he bought it and everyone just gave me shit about that. But everyone hated Time Splitters. For some reason, I was saying, like, dude, you guys are wrong. It wasn't one of those ones where I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, guys. Like, I was playing, I was like, I do not understand where you're coming from. The fact that
franchise died off is tragic. Because it was a British team as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that very British sense of humour, didn't it? But
it did. And then Borderlands kind of co-opted it a little bit, as well as the cartoony style, but...
Yeah.
But it obviously didn't have quite the same gameplay.
Yeah, well, this is it, because this is going to segue into my next little conversation piece about games and potentially movies that should be potentially left in the past. Now, I would actually put...
this could be a long list for us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too carried away, but Time Splitters actually seems like a perfect example where, you know, like, if someone said, oh, we're going to remaster Time Splitters, and everyone would be like, oh, yeah, that's amazing. There'd be loads of people with these fond memories, like us. Mm-hmm. And then you'd play it, and it would be horrendous. But I get the impression that if you just, you know, high-resed Time Splitters 2 and just put it on Xbox or PlayStation 4, I think it would be pretty fucking dire now.
I'm inclined to agree. And I would agree with almost any kind of classic game that's been kind of left behind and not iterated on.
There's, yeah.
Like, as someone who studied game design,
Professor video games over
believe,
here. Yeah,
believe me, it's not a brag. It's gotten me nowhere. But, but yeah, games have developed a lot. And like at first it's just little things, mm-hmm. like being able to crouch
or sprint.
Yeah, or having health that regenerates.
You sounded like a pirate when you said that then.
Arr.
Sorry.
Or having health that regenerates, or
yeah,
having a cover system, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, things have changed a lot, and they become the norm. And
yeah.
So when they're missing, you either have to replace it with something.
Yeah.
Like Overwatch has. Like, Overwatch has rewritten the rules of first-person shooters, I think.
Yeah, well, it's a different game, but as you said, like, no, there are very few genres which have been, you know, iteratively updated as much as the first-person shooter. And you go back, even, I mean... Shit, you go back to BioShock, one of the most beloved games of last generation. The original
uh-huh.
BioShock is clunky as fuck now.
It is, but it's kind of charming.
Yeah,
I
mean, you say that again, but I think if someone had never played BioShock before and they're used to modern day first person shooters, I think they would find it a tough. Like, the story's still great, the setting's still great, but the mechanics, I mean, I thought they were clunky when it was originally released, but they're incredibly clunky now, and it's strange how.
It would be a hard sell. On the mechanics front.
I think so. And even within, outside of genres, even within like a series, I think a great example is everyone bangs on about how much they love Assassin's Creed 2, for instance.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you what, even though it doesn't get a huge amount of love, I mean, after playing Syndicate, if you go back and play the Ezio collection...
It's slow and...
Oh,
yeah.
It feels fucking cumbersome
as
fuck.
It's... When you're trying to free run and you're trying to go round a building, and you accidentally run up the side of it, because of course you do in the middle of a chase, you want to run up the side of a building.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's an array of minor design improvements, which
mm-hmm.
don't all happen in one game. It's like, oh well, we improve a little bit here for 3, we improve a little bit here for Black Flag.
Yeah.
And it's just, you don't know it. Like, when people talk about it, they're like, oh, Assassin's Creed, it's never changed. It's, you know, it's the same game.
Yeah.
It's only when you suddenly go back to 2 after playing Syndicate, you're like, no, mm-hmm. it's not the same fucking game.
Even just down to the animations of the character
absolutely.
As they climb.
Absolutely.
To be honest, Black Flag, I think... Like, I love Black Flag. It's
yeah,
my
too.
Second favourite in the series after Brotherhood. The two-part, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, 2.2 version, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It was my favourite, because mm-hmm. you really got to know Ezio, I thought.
Yeah, I like that one. I've got a soft spot for the first one, though, so...
Yeah, well, we've spoken about that one here as well. I can tolerate the first one, but it's the repetition that puts me off, but...
Yeah.
I like the setting and the characters are good, but...
No, yeah,
yeah. I think Black Flag... They didn't so much iterate on what was there.
Mm-hmm.
They just distracted you with ship combat that was amazing.
Yeah, the story, the fact that he was Welsh, I mean, that I found that pretty awesome.
Oh, right,
well,
of course.
Okay,
yeah.
Half Welsh, but we're claiming him anyway.
Right, okay.
But if you do enough, you know, the mechanics were similar in that game, but if you add ship combat and it's such a different setting, like, that felt like enough. And plus, it was such a great setting.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
I would
absolutely.
Happily take a Black Flag 2 at this point. I mean, the Egypt thing's going to be interesting. I wonder if it's going to be a completely different game a la, you know, the new God of War.
Yeah.
I can only assume after what happened with Syndicate and the Rapids got, I think, you know, they look at it like they almost need a reboot.
Well, they have to add new mechanics, I think, to keep it fresh, because while the free running is fun,
mm-hmm.
I don't think a controller or a mouse and keyboard, in fact, a controller is actually better for playing games like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that level of nuance to make it feel smooth, I don't think most players are capable of that.
I think it's a danger. Like, I'm not convinced it needs new mechanics. I think it needs better mechanics. But I think some of the other Assassin's Creed games, especially the Ezio ones, fell into this, where they just started building additional things onto the existing templates. So they were just, you could do a million things, but none of it really felt like it mattered.
Black Flag
had this as well. Like, I love Black Flag, but at some point, like, I found it a struggle to ignore the gajillion fucking collectibles. And this is a Ubisoft
thing. That's only gotten worse as well.
Yeah,
It actually put me off Unity. I stopped playing Unity, despite the fact that it was, what at the time, one of the most beautiful games I'd ever played.
Unity's much better. I mean, again, if you go back and play that now, and it's all been updated and stuff, Unity's a much better game than people give it credit for, but I agree with the collectibles. I actually thought Syndicate found a really good balance, and the only problem with Syndicate was that it came off the back of Unity, and kind of Assassin's Creed had a bad rap for about a year after that.
Yeah, it kind of did. And remember, all the shit about Syndicate leaked, like, almost immediately after Unity came
out.
All that stuff leaked, and it kind of just lost its momentum, I suppose. Yeah.
Because I honestly think Syndicate's one of my favourite Assassin's Creed games. I thought it was
I'm still to play it. I do want to play it,
totally,
because
worth a watch. Worth a go. You'll be able to pick it up for tuppence now as well.
Well, that's what I've been waiting on. I've been waiting on it coming for under a tenner on the PC, and it's getting there.
Yeah, the price isn't so much an issue, so much as the fact that it is a time sink, like all Assassin's Creed games. But
But if you avoid all the dross at the side, if you're enjoying it enough, you'll find the time to finish it.
The thing is, I didn't actually finish. I got most of the way through it, and it wasn't like I wasn't enjoying it. It was just other things came out. And you know what it's like, every so often, you start playing something else, and you get stuck into that, and then all of a sudden, without like making a decision, you've just drifted away from this game. And it becomes, it's just been too long, and you're like, I can't go back to that now. I was too
It's a little bit of a side effect of the issue that we were talking about before, where, you know, you pick up a game for a little while.
Yeah.
It is a little bit like that. I find myself doing that. It's good on Steam because it keeps a record of what you have installed.
That's pretty cool.
And I'm just like, right, okay, so that's what I was playing before. Because I have Mafia 3 installed, but I'm not starting that yet.
I would not be surprised if I never play that. I really wouldn't. It just
because of all the bad rap that it had.
That game needed to have amazing reviews for me to take interest in it, and I'll get around to that in a minute in terms of the fact that there are too many games and what actually might be missed out. But just on the subject we were speaking of, the reason this initially came up before the whole Assassin's Creed and Bioshock and all that jazz was actually the Parappa the Rapper demo on PS4. Now, I'm not sure if you've played that, but it's basically just Parappa the Rapper in HD. And I was like, that sounds amazing. And it's like, well, it's only a rhythm game, so how bad, you know, it's still going to be great. And then I played it, and I was like, oh, it's not. It looks really clean and stuff, but it just feels clunky, even though it's just a rhythm game.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's another one of these games which sounds great on paper, but then when they bring it back, you're just like, oh, I'm not sure. And all of a sudden, the more I think about it, the more I'm worried about something like the new Shenmue. Because, as I've mentioned on this podcast loads of times, Shenmue 1 and 2 are two of my favourite games of all time. But I went back about a year ago, and I was like, I have not played Shenmue for years. And I started playing Shenmue 2, and after about 45 minutes, I turned it off and told myself never again, because I want the pleasant memories.
They are obtuse games, the Shenmue games. Like,
yeah, that was like, fine.
You can enjoy the story, and you can enjoy the quirkiness.
Yeah, yeah.
But you still have to go to a job where you drive a forklift.
Yeah, but that was part of its charm. I was ready for that, but it was just the fact that it just looked old, and the animations looked clunky, and the dialogue was a bit... And I was just like, all right, this is a game I'm happy to just leave in my memory. Hopefully one day they'll do... and Sega have actually, I think... what's the word I'm looking for? I was going to say bookmarked. Trademarked Shenmue HD or something along those lines, which, you know, there's been a lot of false dawns with these kind of things.
They probably just have to.
But yeah, I'd love to see an updated Shenmue 1 and 2, but they couldn't just put a HD coat of paint on that. Because if people had never played Shenmue before, and you're just like, oh, here's Shenmue 1 and 2 with a new coat of paint, I think it'd put people off 3, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think there's any safe way to do that, because of exactly how you've described it, you know, there's a charm to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you take that stuff out, you lose the charm. And if you leave it in there, it's going to put off people who haven't played it before and who are curious. Yeah.
What it needs is just that subtle bit of... It's kind of like... have you seen those like new range of toys? Like, there's Thundercat ones and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and basically what they've done is re-release the toys from, well, certainly from my youth anyway. So you can get Lion-O, the original Lion-O, and you can get the original 1990s style Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, cool.
And they look exactly the same, but they've been all subtly updated. So essentially what they do is look how you remember them looking. Because when you go back and you see the original Lion-O and the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys, you're suddenly like, oh man, they actually look a bit shit now. Because, you know, they're early 90s toys. Yeah. Whereas these ones, they're still the same toy. It's based on it and it's got the same packaging. It just looks how you remember it looking. They've just made it like a modern version of it while keeping all the original trappings. And I think that's what you need to do with a game like Shenmue, is you keep the essence of the game completely, but you still need to do something about the animations and things like that. But I think it'd be tricky. But
are you starting to realise why I'm a little bit nervous about this Final Fantasy VII remake?
Well, I'm not worried about that, because that is a perfect example of how to do it, I think. You know, you take the story...
It's a potentially good idea.
It could
be a really shit combat system.
Well, I mean, what? Well, this brings me into another great segue here. Hopefully the combat system is based on Final Fantasy XV, because I've been playing that, and the combat system is fantastic. It still feels like it's kind of real-time... but still has those, like, it still feels like Final Fantasy combat. You know, right. I'm just not convinced. Like, what's the point in just doing a HD version of the PlayStation version? Like, it just won't work. It's going to have to be a different game with new combat. You can't go back to turn-based combat for a 60, 70-hour game. It just, people would get, especially younger gamers and stuff. I just don't think I think it's another one of the examples where it sounds like a great idea on paper, and then about an hour or two into it, you realise it's a bit boring, because you're just doing basic turn-based combat. It needs to be something more up to date. And it sounds like, you know, the amount of time and effort they're putting into this, they're clearly going to have an updated battle system, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's very similar to 15, because whatever your views on Final Fantasy 15, I think most people agree on the fact that the combat is awesome.
Yeah.
And again, you know, the whole point of Final Fantasy 15 was making a Final Fantasy game that anyone could play. Like, you don't have to have played a Final Fantasy game. And I think that's what they want to do with the remake of 7. I don't think they're just making 7 for people who are like, oh, I remember playing Final Fantasy 7. They're making it for a new audience, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there'll be a natural buzz about it because it's Final Fantasy 7, but they want to make a game that's palatable to modern gamers who have never played it before, you know?
It's just striking that balance. I don't know.
It is.
Like, as someone who is strongly in one camp, like, I would be happy with pretty much like a fresh coat of paint. Like, I would accept that.
Yeah.
But I know that that's not lucrative for them. Like, that's not a reasonable expectation.
Well, they could have got away with it, in fairness. But I mean, based on the trailer, you're thinking it looks like a totally new game,
with the Final Fantasy
story.
So as someone who does have all the nostalgia, who does love the game, like, I haven't played it in maybe the last couple of years, but I've played it in the last 5 years, and I still love that game as much as I ever did.
I think they probably, with something like Final Fantasy, I think they probably could got away with just creating a proper HD version of it. But with the exact same game, the same camera and stuff like that. But I know that it looks like they've tried to do something a bit more ambitious. Yeah. And
I'm optimistic. They've got a good team at work on it.
Yeah.
And they're going to get all the time and resources that they need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to expect out the other end, and it just makes me a little bit nervous. Because, to be honest, it's not going to tarnish what was there. It's like the same that when people complain about the Star Wars prequels, you know?
Yeah.
But
you
do find yourself thinking, what if, you know, like, what could it have been if they'd decided to go in a different direction?
Yeah, no matter what happens with 7, it's not going to ruin my memories of the original. And to be honest, one of the reasons, like, I don't need to replay the original again. Like, the original exists. You can play it on your phone, you can play it on your PSP, your PS3. Mm-hmm. You know, how much difference really would a HD version of the exact same game make? Because it's a game, what is it, 60 hours long, whatever. You know, the nice new visuals are impressive for a couple of hours, but then you're back playing the game, and what matters are the mechanics. And to be honest, if they're going to remake Final Fantasy VII, I'm all for them doing it properly. Like, you know, let's see what Final Fantasy VII would be like if it was made today. You know, I don't want to see the remake, just do it properly. And, you know, It's always, again, no matter how it turns out, it's not going to ruin my memories of the original, but at least it's something I'm interested in. It becomes, even though we all know Final Fantasy VII, as you say, it becomes an unknown quantity and therefore quite exciting.
Yeah.
But as I said, it's the same with movies. You know, we've all had the movies of our youth remade a million times, and it's a strange one. I mean, they mentioned the fact that they're remaking White Men Can't Jump. And
what?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
What? And
it's another one of these films where I'm like, does it need to be remade? Because don't get me wrong, I love, White Men Can't Jump. It was a film I grew up with, but like so many films, like you know, The Goonies and Coming to America and all these films, I almost can't judge them critically because they're so intertwined with my youth. They're so, you know, built up with nostalgia.
Yeah.
But if I look back at White Men Can't Jump, the story wasn't great. I mean, you know, some guys hustling, playing basketball. What made the film great was Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson. And it's like people don't seem to know. It's the exact same thing happened with Point Break. Like, I love Point Break, the original. But what makes it work is Gary Busey, Patrick Swayze, and Keanu Reeves. Maybe not in that order. I don't know why I opened with fucking Gary Busey. But the remake, in terms of stunts and stuff, yeah, they can outdo it. But the whole reason that film worked was because you had these great characters, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want to turn into a rant about movies as well. There are other things we should be talking about, which I can't remember. I was going to talk about Sherlock, but you haven't seen the new series, have you?
Yeah, I haven't seen the new series. I've actually been going through and rewatching seasons 1 to 3.
Oh, well, just
so that I know what's
times.
Going on.
I really did not like the fourth season. Really didn't like it.
I don't think you're alone in that, but
I would go as far as say, like, the first episode is bad. Flat out bad. I don't think there's any doubt to say. The second episode's actually a lot better. And I was like, oh, things looking up. Maybe the first episode was just a blip. And I know it's split opinion, but I hated the last episode. I hated it. Obviously, I won't talk about it too much because you haven't seen it. But I was convinced that it was going to get torn to pieces. I looked over at Beth and I was like, what did you think of that? And she said the same thing. She's like, I thought it was horrendous. And she didn't hate the first episode as much as me either. And it's rare for Bethan to hate something. She's usually very forgiving. But really disliked it. And I remember I checked a few reviews, and the first review I saw was a 5-star review. I was like, what the fuck? And then I saw another review. I think it was The Telegraph and The Independent. I can't remember which way around it was. But one gave it a 5-star review, and one gave it a 0-star review. So it gives you an idea of how it's split opinion, you know? But I'll be interested.
That's a massive divide there.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, it's still clever in bits, but I think it's put its smart-ass approach ahead of character. It's like everything anyone seems to do now is kind of just geared towards making everything make sense. So, you know, all the twists and stuff, all of a sudden it's like they've got this twist, they've got this idea, and then the characters are serving that rather than the story serving the character, if you see what I mean.
Right, okay.
And that's always been the case to a certain degree with Sherlock, because it is built on these big reveals. But I think they just push it too far with this series. But it's worth watching. As much as I didn't like it, I think it's interesting. And as I said, I liked the second episode, but episodes 1 and 3, Jesus, Wes.
From the stuff that I've seen, there's a bit of a tone of finality to this season as well. Like I say, I haven't seen anything.
I don't want to say anything because, again, I don't want to go into spoiler territory. But the way they ended it, I thought it was both unpleasant and cheesy. But again, we'll wait until you've seen it and take it from there. But was there anything else?
A bad infection.
Yes. I was going to mention the fact that there's the new Mario Kart, the new Nintendo Switch advert, which shows somebody playing Mario Kart on the toilet. But I don't want to bookend this episode of Brashcast with toilet chat. So is there anything else you wanted to bring up, or are we literally going to end up with playing Mario Kart on the toilet?
Well, we can speak about Mario Kart. I sent you a message as soon as it happened.
Yeah.
I wasn't on the toilet, don't worry.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I was on the train. I've also spoken about it on the show before, but I've been hammering away at Mario Kart 7 on the 3DS.
That's an amazing achievement.
Trying to get that very last star.
I can't believe you've got finally, all the stars.
I finally got it. That was...
Fuck.
Honestly, my hands were sweating. It was horrible.
That is like a proper... You know when people talk about, like, their greatest gaming achievements? I mean, that's got to be up there, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, because I was thinking, like, I don't tend to put... Because I don't play one... I really get obsessed with a single game. So most of the stuff, when I think of, something amazing I've done, it's usually from when I was younger. Completing Punch Out, and I know loads of people have done that, but that was still pretty awesome, completing the original Punch Out. but getting every single star on a Mario Kart game at every CC, dude, that's a I think that's an achievement. I mean, that takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, it was pretty tricky. I've still got the mirror mode to go. I don't know what that's going to be
dude,
like.
Throw that cart out the window. I think you've done enough. You're ready for Mario Kart 8 now. Although imagine that if you got into that playing it on the toilet, because one of the I remember. Oh god, this is happening now.
Yeah, yeah.
Before mobile phones had internet and all that jazz, I remember taking a poo would take 5 minutes. I'd be in and out of the toilet super quick. Now, even if nothing's happening, you just tend to sit on the toilet because you start messing around with your phone. You check Facebook, you check the news, you play a game. I remember I completed Peggle start to finish just on the toilet, not in one sitting. Not in one sitting, I want to make that abundantly clear, but I only ever played on the toilet. And I'm worried now, if I'm playing Mario Kart and I'm like, oh Jesus, I need a turnout, I take it to the toilet. I'm going to be in there for an hour and a half. Bethan's going to think that I've died. She's like, I knew he'd die in the toilet. I fucking knew he'd die in the toilet. So, I don't know, man. I'm not sure if it's good, this idea that I can end up playing Mario Kart on the bar. I think that's... Imagine you suddenly just got stuck into Skyward Sword and you're sitting on the toilet and you just lost track of time. So I'm just sitting on the toilet for 30.
It's just, I can imagine you offering the tablet to Bethan and Bethan being like,
no,
I'm okay, thanks.
Okay. I'm fine, that's fine. It's weird because...
Liam, why is there a power cable running to a charging station inside the toilet?
Yeah, that's what it's going to turn into. That's what's going to get me off the toilet, is just the fact that I'll run out of battery. So the fact that it hasn't got an amazing battery life might be a lifesaver as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But it's strange in Mario Kart 8 because I've got Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U, and yet I'm still looking forward to the Switch version. And I think that's maybe the power of marketing. I don't know how they've done this to me. It's ridiculous. I'm buying a console for a game which I can buy on the Wii U. There's not many other games at the moment where I'm like, oh, this is at launch. I think it might just be Zelda.
Yeah.
Unless the reviews are basically what I'm doing is waiting for the reviews on 1-2 Switch. I'm not just going to buy 1-2 Switch just because it's a launch title. Because it's the kind of game, if it's shit, it'll go down in price.
You need Bethan invested as well. Those games all look like multiplayer games.
Yeah, I mean, 1-2 Switch, whatever the reviews, one day I'm going to own it. But it's the kind of game where everyone will buy it, and if it's garbage, you'll be able to pick it up
for a fiver in a charity shop.
Yeah, £5, £10, whatever, even if it's a year down the line. But I'm waiting, Zelda, I'm just buying. I mean, we all know that's going to be amazing. It's just a matter of how amazing it's going to be. 1-2 Switch, I'm like, well, we're going to see. And then Bomberman R, that's the only other one I'm really interested in at the moment. I mean, there are games down the line, like I said, Mario Kart, I think ARMS looks pretty sweet. but in terms of at launch, it might just be Zelda, which is quite bizarre.
Yeah,
because usually with console, even with the Wii, I had two games at launch. I had Zelda, but it came with Wii Sports, which felt like something a bit unique.
Yeah, well, it came in box, and there was nothing in box for the Switch.
I guess the obvious thing
for
the Switch would be to just get Zelda and 1-2 Switch, I suppose, but I don't know, we'll see. Anything else you want to talk about before we bail, because obviously we just kept going the toilet chat. I did want to talk about documentaries, but we can save that until next week.
Okay, let's save it for next week then.
Okay, and M. Night Shyamalan, I want to talk about him, but I haven't seen Split yet, so I'm going to have my M. Night Shyamalan rant next week, I think.
Oh, well, just we can cap it with movies instead of going to the bathroom.
Okay, go for it.
I got around to watching Hunt for the Wilder People with Cara.
Awesome.
It was really, really good. Really heartfelt.
Such a charming film.
Yeah, super funny as well.
Mm-hmm. Does it make you more excited for Thor 3 as well?
Because he's directing it.
Yeah.
Not really. I can't imagine it being like that.
I just think it's going to be something different.
It means it'll have a sense of humour.
Yeah, I the Thor films are fine, but all of a sudden with what's his name, Waiki Taiki or something like that. Oh god,
Taika Waititi, I think.
I've absolutely butchered that name. But between him directing it and the fact that it's going to have the Hulk and stuff in it, suddenly I'm like, I am super fucking excited to see Thor. But yeah, it's had no Oscar love, which is quite bizarre.
It seems like an indie darling, to be honest.
Yeah, I just thought maybe it might have at least got a shot.
Don't get me wrong, it's beautifully shot. New Zealand's a beautiful country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And some of the locations that you see are fantastic. The CGI wild boar was a little bit, but
yeah, I guess
other than that, you know, it doesn't detract from how heartbreaking it is when, I guess, yeah, there's a pretty sad bit that comes after that.
I'm so used to sad stuff, though. I mean,
speaking of the Oscars,
is that just 2016?
There was a lot of good stuff.
Is Bethan hitting you again?
Well, she always hits me, but she's very small. I hardly notice.
And it is deserved.
Speaking of Beth, I mean, Monster Calls. I watched that. That hasn't had any Oscar.
I thought you were saying. Speaking of Bethan, a Monster Calls. You got to pick up your phone.
The only thing I'll remember, like, it was a really good film, and how that kid has not got any. No, I can't remember his name, but he's a Scottish kid. And the fact that he's doing accent, he is unbelievable in that film. But Bethan bawled her fucking eyes out. In fairness, the last 30 minutes of that film is relentlessly upsetting. It's just, it's brutal. Like, the whole cinema was in bits, but Bethan was fucking, she was bawling her eyes out. And it was the same with Manchester by the Sea, which is already one of my, like, I'll be hard-pressed to find a better film this year. I loved Manchester by the Sea.
Like Casey Affleck or something?
Yeah, Casey Affleck. Such an understated movie. It's so grounded, but, and don't get me wrong, the sad stuff in that film is about as sad as you can get, but it's surprisingly funny, which you don't expect from the trailer and the poster. You just think, oh god, this is going to be super depressing and, you know, working class boss and all that jazz, but it's got loads of laughs, and I absolutely adored that film, even more so than La La Land, which, again, I get why that's the Oscar darling. Like, it's perfectly placed, you know, a musical number about Hollywood with just a hint of a darker edge. It's a brilliant film, but my favourite so far of the front runners, I suppose, is Manchester by the Sea. But money's on La La Land. I think that's going to clean up.
Right. Okay.
But I would love to see Hunt for the Wilder People have a shout. But did you see it on Netflix?
Yeah, I watched it on Netflix.
Have you seen Green Room yet?
No. Karen refuses to watch it with me because she doesn't want to see Patrick Stewart be a horrible neo-Nazi.
Oh, he's horrible in it. And I told Beth not to watch it because she doesn't like people getting stabbed, and it's quite stabby. It's quite stabby.
I like the fact that that's one thing you can confidently say about your wife. She doesn't like seeing people get stabbed.
Yeah, she's not the keenest on. She's not squirmish with movies and stuff like that, but stabby things, she's not.
You know, she's a posh girl, grew up in the posh part of Cardiff, seeing people get stabbed.
Yeah, she's not a fan of. She's never seen somebody be stabbed before. What a fucking loser. It is quite stabby, but it's part of it. I can't remember the name of the other films, but all of a sudden there was a whole bunch of really good films on Netflix, those two being the obvious ones.
Whiplash as well. That's the other one. In my queue.
Have you seen Whiplash?
No, it's all in my queue. The thing is, Karen and I like to watch movies together, and I just don't have that much time with her at the moment. So.
Well, dude, if she doesn't want to watch Green Room, watch it on your own, because it's a fantastic movie.
I might have to, but it doesn't seem like the kind of movie that I'm going to feel good about life after watching.
No, it's not. It's like, he's a neo-Nazi, he's terrible, but it's not that kind of film. It's very much got that 80s vibe. Like, you don't go away feeling terrible about life or the fact. It's not like watching American History X or anything like that. It's very much a siege movie. You know, kind of in the Assault on Precinct 13 kind of vibe, you know?
Okay.
He's just, the fact that he's a Nazi, it doesn't even matter. It's more just like, he's the bad guy. How do we really ram home the fact that he's the bad guy? Oh, he's also a Nazi. It's not one of those films where you come out super depressed. Like, I was buzzed by that. I thought it was a fantastic film. But if anything, I would watch Whiplash before that, because that film is goddamn phenomenal. It could be about anything. It doesn't need to be about drumming.
I had a hard time explaining it to Cara, like, in a way that made it sound appealing. I was like, it's about a kid who goes to, like, a college for music, and his drum teacher is really, like, hard on him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like a sports movie. It could be about sports. He could be playing the fucking cello. He could play the triangle. It doesn't matter. The fact is, it's more about obsession, you know? And the two performances, the lead performances, are absolutely phenomenal. And, I mean, that's the same guy who directed La La Land, so he's knocked out of the park. And as good as La La Land is, and it is very good, I don't think it's anywhere near as good as Whiplash. I think Whiplash is a phenomenal movie, and you must see it. And if you're listening at home, or wherever you listen to these things, go and watch Whiplash. Even if you don't have Netflix, just find it, watch it. It's one of the best films of the past few years. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but it is that good. That seems like a positive place to end, doesn't it? Yeah. That's another positive note. And anyway, I've got to pick up my wife.
Rare for us.
And if I don't pick up my wife, she's been in work since 8 o'clock this morning. It's now 9 p.m. And yeah, if I don't pick her up relatively soon, she's going to murder the shit out of me. And by the way, she's not in work because I haven't picked her up yet. This isn't like one of those like bad parent things, you know, where their kids get left behind in school.
I just imagine her in the rain. For some reason, she's wearing a football kit and has a football under her arm.
Yeah, and there's like a teacher comes out and puts her arm around and goes, oh, I'm sure Liam will be here soon. By the way, my wife isn't also my daughter. Let's just clear that right fucking up now. But anyway, I've got to go pick up my wife. My wife, who isn't... It doesn't matter. She's a scientist.
Yeah,
you keep talking.
People are going to start asking questions.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, we'll leave on that horrendously incestuous note. Ross, good luck with your interview on Monday.
Yes. Sorting my life out, hopefully.
Yeah, well, dude, I mean, you know, we won't go into details, but Ross is going to Sweden to potentially do something very exciting. We all hope it goes well, and when we say we all, I mean, it is literally just me. So, I'm sure your loved ones care as well, but I'm just talking in terms of the podcast.
I hope your cats are rooting for me.
Yeah, of course. Bryn, right now, I mean, that's all Bryn's been talking about. It's like, Ross, for fuck's sake, dude, Jesus, I've got a life as well.
I will express my approval through licking my own butt.
Yeah, that's generally how he does it. That and pooping. Fuck, when we start end on pooping again. All right, that's it. I'm ending this fucking thing. All right, cheers, guys. Come back next week. As always, we're on Facebook. We're on the website, brashgames.co.uk. Please download and subscribe, whether it be on iTunes or Android or any of that shit. The links are on the bottom of the page on brashgames.co.uk. So, yeah, please give a listen. Leave a review. That'd be quite nice. Do whatever you want. Or just don't. I don't know. We don't care. All right, thanks, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.